some of their works that haven't been played.
Simon Heffer's Best of British Playlist, tomorrow at 2 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Now on Radio 4 198 Longwave and DAB Digital Radio, it's time for the Act of Worship, led by Leslie Griffiths. Here on Radio 4 FM, our Book of the Week, and more about the musician Robert Wyatt. Cult figure, nation's favourite, whatever the status, there are various projects and collaborations for the singer and instrumentalist in Different Every Time by Marcus O'Dare.
Le chat qui pêche.
I love Robert's music. I love his voice. I love his whole approach, says Glenn Max, an energetic New Yorker. He is one of the few experimentalists that's so interesting and so light. When Glenn Max moved to England in 2000 to take up a position as producer of contemporary music at London's South Bank Centre, one of his first tasks was to find a guest curator for the following year's Meltdown Festival. He soon phoned Robert. The curator slot suited Robert down to the ground. I loved it once I got into it, he nods. Senegal's Baba Mal had spoken for the United Nations on AIDS and HIV and campaigned against female genital mutilation. Yet his closing concert was celebratory. Wyatt recalls it as unfollowably gobsmacking, so it's just as well he was the last act. Bebop pioneer Max Roach was another politically resonant choice. Roach, who had played with Charlie Parker when still a teenager, was in his 70s by the time of Meltdown. That was virtually one of the last gigs he did, sighs Robert, who still has a framed poster advertising the show on his wall in Louth. Robert and Alfie stayed in a flat overlooking the Royal Festival Hall, with a view of the Thames and the London Eye, and they went to every single show. Apparently, no one else had ever done that, chuckles Robert. But me and Alfie were always the first two people at any party and the last to leave. We felt like the pearly king and queen. Jazz pianist and composer Keith Tippett performed, as did minimalist composer Terry Riley. Another offbeat triumph was Ivor Cutler, who supported Elvis Costello. Ivor was very frail by that time, recalls Robert. He's very funny, with his little harmonium, reading out his little poems. He's unique. We love you, Ivor, they shouted at the end. Oh, he said, I don't think you know me well enough to say that. David Gilmour agreed to perform too, despite the fact that he didn't have a band available when he got the call. Part of the Meltdown curator's job is to play live, sometimes several times, and Robert didn't want to go on stage at all. Although he absolutely refused to perform as a headline act, David Gilmour did coax him into singing the opening verses of Floyd favourite Comfortably Numb, originally sung by Roger Waters. Robert's got one of the great voices, says Gilmour. So why wouldn't I ask him? Robert sang from in front of the stage, recalls Glenn Max. He sang from the floor, and of course he sounded beautiful. Aware that the Gilmour guest slot would not entirely satisfy fans, Glenn Max conceived a way for Wyatt's own compositions to be performed. His suggestion was that Soup Songs, a group dedicated to performing the music of Robert Wyatt, perform at Meltdown, but with an extended list of guest vocalists. The eventual lineup saw Keith Tippett joined by vocalists including Elvis Costello and Karen Mantler, the daughter of Mike Mantler and Carla Bley. Soul singer Carlene Anderson sang Strange Fruit. The musicians were first rate, and fans were delighted to see Robert's music played live. They even got a glimpse of the man himself. At the Soup Songs performance, remembers Glenn Max, Robert had agreed with Alfie to close the show, to sing a cappella in the dark from the ceremonial box, and when the time came, he literally was crouching down so you couldn't see him. Glenn Max recalls that le trac, stage fright, Robert preferred the French term, evaporated with the last audience member. Backstage, late at night, he would sit at the piano and sing. I remember he and Alfie were doing something at the piano, says Max, and the three or four people in the room would be looking at each other like, we're getting a little Robert Wyatt performance here. How did he sound? He sounded like Robert Wyatt. He sounded great.
Cuckoo, madam, with your teddy bear eye. Yellow fingers clingy.
Alfie came up with Cuckoo Land as the title for Robert's next album, one that would build on the momentum of Meltdown. One of the album's key tracks was Cuckoo Madame, which Robert regards as one of Alfie's most brilliant lyrics. It was also one of the hardest to set to music, but it pushed him into a new approach to melody and harmony, borrowing from two of England's finest 20th century composers. Writing Cuckoo Madame, he explains, turned out to be the nearest I'd ever got to the stuff I'd tried to learn as a child, from people like Benjamin Britten and Vaughan Williams, using the archaic scales of folk music that weren't either major or minor. Jazz was a more obvious influence on Cuckoo Land than on any of Wyatt's other solo releases. The clarinet on a version of bossa classic Insensatez, and the trumpet on Beware. Robert played this last part, like the lyrical solo on Old Europe, himself, after Alfie picked up the instrument at a car boot sale. Paul Weller calls Wyatt the English Chet Baker, and he could now replicate the papery sound of jazz's leading doomed romantic on trumpet as well as vocals. That physical, hands-on feeling of playing a trumpet is one of the greatest physical pleasures I've had from doing music since drumming, enthuses Robert. Cuckoo Land was very much a post-Meltdown record, and not only because of the Amal Mercus number. Jennifer Maidman from Soup Songs played accordion and acoustic guitar. David Gilmour appeared too, contributing to Forest, the blue guitar licks otherwise absent from Wyatt's oeuvre. Most significantly, Karen Mantler appeared on four songs. Smoking had robbed Robert of half an octave at the top of his vocal range, and Karen could hit the notes that he could no longer reach. Where Karen's originals had been understated, the tunes in Robert's hands became lacquered and lush. Much of the change in palette is down to the Tron, a sort of human synthesizer, and the ultimate expression of his voice as instrument muddy mouth technique. More than anything, it is Robert's vocals that define the album. His singing, on Old Europe, for instance, is often double-tracked, like a double-exposed photograph, just as it had been back on the first Soft Machine album. Though Wyatt dismissed his voice as a wino's mutter, Cuckoo Land is in fact the work of a singer who knows himself utterly. Wyatt was pushing 60 when Cuckoo Land was shortlisted for the 2004 Mercury Music Prize, the most prestigious music award in the UK. Ryko's Andy Childs recalls the award ceremony with warmth. It was a great evening because everybody wanted to talk to Robert. Amy Winehouse, all those people, one by one, they came to his table and paid homage. The nomination was another step in establishing Robert's regularly mooted status as a national treasure, and the momentum continued to build. Robert even got a call from Björk, then working on the all-vocal Medulla, her own Muddy Mouth album, which also featured an Inuit throat singer and human beatboxers. Robert has got an incredible range in his voice, Björk explains. Really high, gentle notes, really sensitive. I was trying to find somebody with a voice that sounded very individual, that was a character. He describes himself as starstruck when Björk came to see him in Louth. So nervous did he feel that he ended up asking her to leave the house during his takes. "I threw everything at it," he recalls. "I double-tracked, I did harmonies, I did two octaves, I did an octave or two, just note by note." Björk was allowed to return to the house when the session was complete. Joined by various friends, she then spent the evening with Robert and Alfie, listening to Sun Ra and John Cage records. Robert had a ball. She was everything that you might hope she would be. She was funny, she was witty, she was amazing to look at. And so did Björk. "It really felt like you were visiting another little world. And it was really very charming. They've got a little two-people galaxy that functions and has its dark sides and its harmonious sides." Two tracks from the session ended up on Medulla. Oceania featured the Wiretron, Robert's voice reinvented as human synth. In August 2004, Björk performed the Oceania, replete with Robert's sampled vocals, at the opening ceremony for the Athens Olympic Games. "It is," laughs the stage fright victim, "the only time I've sung to millions all around the world." When David Gilmour recorded On an Island, his first solo album in 22 years, Robert was a natural guest to play cornet on the dozy, delicate Then I Close My Eyes. Having wheeled onto the stage, Robert sat, fag in mouth, for 5 minutes without playing a note. But when the time came, his distilled, deeply lyrical cornet solo curled like smoke above Gilmour's gently looping guitar part. Now, not many months go by without a musical collaboration of some kind. Robert added piano, cornet and scatted vocal to Richardson Road on Unearth by Grasscut. Though little can credibly be said of this collaboration, since one member of the duo is the writer of this biography. As a fee, Robert would accept only a small hamper of Sussex cheese.
"Had to fly before another mother."
He's working on material of his own. "It's still feeling that I've yet to quite get it right, which stops me stopping." Looking back over a full half century of making music, are there any points when Robert himself feels he has got it right? "There are moments," he replies with a grin. "I like that thing Miles Davis said. I play in a club, I play solo after solo, and for that evening, there'll be just 8 bars where I just absolutely got it right." But, Robert laughs, "I think I'm probably the only one who knows which 8 bars they were."
Julian Rhind Tutt was reading from Different Every Time by Marcus O'Dare, which was abridged for radio by Catherine Williams, and the series producer was Duncan Minchell. Is remarrying the same person a recipe for disaster? And 1 in 5 parents will cut their hours or give up work altogether this year because of childcare costs. Woman's Hour will be discussing all that in a couple of minutes.
Homer's Iliad, dramatised by Simon Armitage.
"Agamemnon, it's very early. It's time. The cooks haven't even lit the fires."
"Not breakfast. War."
Starring Lily Cole as the abducted queen, Helen.
"Priam, how will this end?"
"The gods will decide. Or would that now be considered an old-fashioned thought?"
"Non-believers never seem to fare any better."
The Last Days of Troy on BBC Radio 4. On Sunday afternoon at 3, and then on the Radio 4 website.